RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
What is up, Richmond? Monday morning, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Beautiful weekend. Is that the best weekend of the year? Is that a depressing thought? Because it's only March, April tomorrow, and we've got a lot more weekends to go. Maybe. That was a pretty good weekend. I'm talking about weather, of course, not sports. It was fine as sports goes. Here's the thing. We'll get to the NFL. We'll get to the baseball, the Yankees, bats. We'll get to the women's tournament as well. And we'll spend a little time in the NFL today as they meet to discuss rules today. We'll get to college baseball, where the Richmond Spiders were down 21-10 to Fordham in the bottom of the ninth inning. And they brought the tying run to the plate. They didn't win, though. 21-18, your final. You are against Fordham out there. John Brian O'Connor, UVA baseball coach, picks up his 900th win over the weekend. Congrats to him, who's talking tonight, AWOD Radio, noon to 3, Grant and Danny. Drive you home. No, we're starting with the men's basketball tournament because one of the things, and I'm as guilty of saying it as anybody, if we're going to have no Cinderellas, if we're going to have no upsets, of course, that means that we get great matchups. And we had just banger after banger of matchups. It just felt like maybe not as good as it could have been. Certainly the Auburn-Michigan State game, and then before that, Tennessee did not deliver to the extent you'd like to see it delivered in a true Clash of the Titans situation. Duke Alabama. I'll reconcile my two thoughts here, because the one is I'm really impressed by Duke because they dismantled a very good Alabama team. They showed their national title caliber. Auburn, I want to say that about Auburn. Took care of a good Michigan State team, handled their business, kept them at arm's length. It just felt like, man, Auburn was really trying to let them back in that game in the first portion of the second half there. Gave Michigan State a number of chances. Sparty couldn't hit a shot, and that was where it ended for them. Felt less dominant than Duke's win. A dominant win by Duke. A very good win by Auburn, which will be a formidable team. Lines are out for the Final Four on Saturday night, so it'll start at 6 o'clock with the Auburn Florida All SEC matchup, and Florida is going to be a 2.5-point favorite in that game. It's probably all coming down to Broom there for Auburn, who has a nasty injury. He came back, couldn't raise his arm, made the three. That was the dagger. That was the dagger. Maynard with the dagger. That was the dagger from Broom there for sure. And that, you know, the game was over at that point when he hits that three and the crowd goes wild. He checks back in. It's very clear he cannot use his left arm. Then Pearl very correctly gets him out of there. He had no business being in the game at that point. It was over. Everybody's fate was sealed. Just no reason to have him out there with one arm playing college basketball. Will he be available? That's going to be up in the air. I know he said he would in the post game, but man, I think that's what we'll be closely watching this week. Auburn, a good team. Florida, a good team. A little SEC play in the mud throwdown there. I like the under in that game more than I like either of the teams. And then the nightcap at about 8:45, Duke will take on Houston. I'm really excited for this game. You've got a great coach in Kelvin Sampson at Houston, who people don't give this team enough credit for what they did in Big 12 play, for only losing four times and three of them were in overtime, for only losing once in conference play in a tough basketball conference. This is a good, cohesive team here. It's going to give Duke all they can handle. By the way, John Shire is a good coach, too. I'm not here for the John Shire slander. It will not be tolerated on my watch. I think John Shire is a very good basketball coach. I get that it's a good roster, that he recruited strong. He's got the best player in the country. He gets the most out of him every night, too. That's going to be a fantastic Final Four matchup. So I'll get my hopes up again after a weekend that I felt maybe under-delivered a little in terms of what I wanted in terms of basketball excitement. Started off with a lot of promise, I felt like, but then kind of fizzled at the end there. Nothing against dominant victories, and certainly the teams and their fans will take them. But we head to an all-chalk Final Four with the four number one seeds, first time since 2008. I'll drop that stat on you, because that's the year my Kansas Jayhawks cut down the Nets. Yeah, you knew we'd get there eventually, and in fact, there we are. Coaching drama continues through the weekend as well. In college basketball, Kevin Willard reportedly told his Maryland team that he was not coming back via Zoom. That was a Zoom notification from Kevin Willard to the rest of his Maryland basketball team, capping what was one of the wildest hero-to-villain, certainly one of the fastest hero-to-villain rides of all time. Because I think with a month to go before the tournament, if you had asked Maryland fans, what do you think of Kevin Willard? I think their answer would have been, he is our basketball coach, period. I think that would have been the reaction. I don't think there were feelings one way or the other. Certainly, everybody's hoping for big things in March. They understand it's a good team. He hadn't done anything, so you're not wild about him. He hadn't, you know, bombed out yet, so you're not sick of him, ready to run him out of town. Then you go on a wild roller coaster ride where he goes up and he soapboxes, Maryland needs to care more about basketball. I need more resources from the athletic director. The athletic director sees what's coming, leaves town to SMU, a full-on football school, and everybody applauds Kevin Willard. Among the Maryland fans, that was a very well-received press conference because he spoke for them. They do want to prioritize basketball. So he wins. He's the winner here. Then he presses his luck in week two by essentially continuing to be snippy about the administration, working behind their back to go to Villanova, leaves for Villanova, and now is number one villain, ruins what should have been a great week for the school at the Sweet 16, and instead, it's a sour one. I'll spot him that some of that was beyond his control, in that, I mean, look, you got to be working the portal now. This is going to be a monster week for portal action because you've got all the money's got to be given away. All the money that's in the safe needs to be out of there by April 7th when they start keeping score if the judge approves the House v. NCAA settlement. On April 8th, any NIL contracts you sign with kids are going to have to go to the clearinghouse and essentially, you know, be subject to the revenue cap. So you got to throw all your money out of the safe here by the end of the week. So it's brutal. And the NCAA has done nobody any favors. But for Kevin Willard, some unforced errors there, sour feelings as he leaves College Park. And then the rumor mill spins quickly. Will Buzz Williams fill the chair in Maryland? We know Buzz gets antsy every few years for a new job, a new challenge. It'd be great to have him back up the street, see him at events. That would be a wild outcome there for the Terps. So we'll keep an eye on all that. But Duke, Houston in the Final Four, Auburn, Florida, all one seeds coming out of a tournament that was mostly chalk. And in a year, you know, and that's why I don't want to do this mid-major basketball is dead thing for this reason. There are things that I see that bother me immensely about where mid-major basketball is, primarily lack of access to quality games. Just to be clear, there are very legitimate reasons to be afraid for the future of mid-major basketball. I'm not saying otherwise. This was a year where you had 8 really good basketball teams, and now 4 really good one seeds, and I don't think they were going to get tripped up by anybody along the path. And now we get to see them battle it out. I love the Duke-Houston game. I think that's a great one. Auburn-Florida, it makes me nervous, like the other games this weekend may have a little play in the mud, a little of that number going on as well. Time to sneak in one more thing here, and that is that Alex Ovechkin is on the verge of history.
Here's a tip from Ovechkin, and a shot here from the outside, and it's in front, and they score, and Alex Ovechkin got it. The tip of the shot from the left point. The great eight has 890 goals. It's 6-4. He needs 5 to pass Wayne Gretzky for the all-time record.
And we're getting close, folks. That was John Walton, of course, Washington Capitals Radio Network. You hear them on our sister station, the Team 980, when they're not on 106.7. The Fan up in Washington, D.C., it's Nats season, so everything gets a little scrambled up there. But that is the call. One more from the third period. Ovechkin was redirected by Pierre-Luc Dubois. Would have been 2 on the night for him, and boy, that would have changed this segment immensely as well. Just 1, though, because the other one's on the deflection. There's 9 games to go. 4 to tie, 5 to get it, and dang if that isn't exactly Alex Ovechkin's pace. With the Caps firmly in the playoffs, this is the storyline right now for this team that's going to follow them around the country as they play these final few games. I'm intrigued. It just takes 1, right? 1 3-goal night, 1 hat trick, 1 4-goal night to even it up. It's not unthinkable. It's getting close to watching second by second, minute by minute here. It also remains very possible he doesn't get it this year. That's very much in play as well, which is, I mean, this is a fun reason to watch otherwise meaningless hockey down the stretch. 2 on the road, 2 tomorrow and Wednesday, Bruins and the Canes up before they return home Friday night against the Blackhawks, matinee on Long Island, Sunday against the Islanders. So you get 4 chances to see Alex Ovechkin this week before they take a mini break, play a little frantic final stretch of the season. We'll have a good feel next Monday when we talk to you. It'll be an eventful show next Monday because that's House versus NCAA settlement, too. We'll have eyes on that. I think we'll have a good feel when they get back from Long Island on where this thing stands as Alex Ovechkin chases history. I can't get enough of this. It's March. We got basketball, baseball starting up. We've got the Yankees bats, which are insane. We've got all sorts of great storylines, but I think the sporting world's focus is going to go pretty quickly here to Alex Ovechkin and the great chase for history. Excited to be alongside you while that happens, because, man, it's going to be thrilling on a night-by-night basis. And then we're going to roll into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Reminder, playoff goals don't count for Ovi. That's why it's so important. He's got to get by the end of the year. But this is a team that could do some damage when we get to the playoffs as well. All right, we're off and running. No giveaways today after a manic 2 weeks of giveaways. Kings Dominion, Wizards tickets, concerts tickets. Man, we've had it all around here. Comedy tickets. We've had it all. We'll take a break from the giveaways today. We'll just talk sports for a couple hours. Be with you until noon. That's when AWOD Radio takes over. You're listening to your home for VCU basketball in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome back on a Monday morning. It brings me no pleasure to inform you we have a baseball situation already, and I know what you're thinking. Opening day was just Thursday. Also, MP, you didn't talk much about opening day. I know. We were at VCU. We were introducing a coach. Sometimes life intervenes, but baseball did start. I do love baseball. Flying Squirrels, home opener on Friday, which is also full on opening day for the Flying Squirrels. We'll get Trey Wilson on tomorrow to talk about that. Always fired up for that. Look, I didn't think my Royals were going to win the World Series this year. I didn't think the Nats were going to win the World Series this year. They both lost on opening day. So those are the daggers. That's what we deal with. But we've got a bigger problem in the world of baseball right now. And I think it's time we just address this head on. The Yankees have new bats, and they're really good. That's the issue here. Here's how this happened. I'll dive into this in a second. Kevin Smith, formerly in the Yankees organization, put this on the Xbox, formerly known as Twitter. Kevin Smith says, "Yes, the Yankees have a literal genius MIT physicist, Lenny, who is the man, on payroll. He invented the torpedo barrel. It brings more wood and mass to where you most often make contact as a hitter. The idea is to increase the number of barrels and decrease misses." That's Aaron Lenhart. He is the MIT physicist on the Yankees payroll. That's not even fair. First off, that they've got an MIT physicist on staff. This turned into Formula One in a hurry here, where everybody's going for every little edge that they can possibly get. This is the new baseball bat here for the Yankees. Essentially, think of like a regular bat as like a triangle. You grab the smallest part, and then the other end is the biggest part. Now the biggest part is like a knob in the middle. So in the middle, where you normally hit the ball, is the thickest part of the bat, and then it gets smaller back to the edge, like a reverse hourglass kind of situation here. And so where they hit the ball now has more wood on it than where it used to. And so that's the sort of thing that has made the Yankees over the years, willingness to push the rules, tinker with them. Yes, it's legal. They got Major League Baseball's permission to do it. And yes, the Yankees are currently unstoppable. 9 home runs on Saturday for the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge, 3 home runs on Saturday. Now only 4 Yankees all time who have hit 3 home runs in a game 3 or more times as a Yankee. Here's the company. It's Aaron Judge, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, and Alex Rodriguez. That is good company right there. If you are Aaron Judge, who hit 3 home runs with the new bats, 3 straight home runs off of Nestor Cortez to start the game on Saturday, 20-9, your final score. The Yankees have the new bat. I would assume everybody else is going to have the new bat momentarily. I don't love where we're at here. We are now Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We're now 4 days into the season. The Major League Baseball season, which is a grind, it's 162 games long. We're 4 games into the season, and the Yankees have a scientific edge that makes them unstoppable. I'm excited for everybody else to try to make this bat. Like, there is going to be a run on these bats right now. I would imagine every other player in baseball is telling their equipment guy, get me one of these bats. We'll talk to Trey tomorrow. I'm curious, like, are these going to end up in the Squirrels clubhouse like by Friday? Sure feels like there's going to be heavy demand for these new bats that bring the sweet spot down a little bit so that you make more contact when you swing. Who knows? Could be psychological, could be placebo. We could find out it's nothing. But it's a great start to the season for the Yankees and their MIT physicist who is reinventing baseball. It's no Moneyball. Moneyball was the Oakland A's, of course, trying to fight and scrap for every advantage they could get against the Yankees. This is reverse Moneyball, where the Yankees pay a brilliant scientist a lot of money to rethink the bat in a way that makes it more positive for them. Cody Bellinger used the bat in spring training. This is what he told the New York Daily News. There's ways to move the weight of the bat. Some guys like top heavy, some guys like hand loaded. You just got to find a bat that feels good, that kind of moves with you. I'm a believer in swinging different things. So that is that is what they're doing. It's a new bat. It looks a little different. It's kind of got like a little rolling pin vibe to it, maybe. If they want to bake something between at bats and the dugout, it is not illegal. The MLB rules talk about how thick the bat can be, 2.61 inches, and it does not specify where on the bat has to be the thickest part of the bat. So they're bringing it down. I'm also curious if you can pitch to the bat. If you want to do sliders, sinkers, out and away, curve, junk. If you can pitch to getting contact on the part of the bat that got slimmed by the scientist, I think there's a lot we have to figure out here. I'm fascinated by the new bats that the New York Yankees are using this season. Certainly not fascinated by the thought that the Yankees have a technological advantage just a few games into the season, because as you know, this show rides with the Baltimore Orioles. I got a lot of teams. This baseball season, I got a lot of teams, and that's allowed in baseball. I'm not a you-gotta-pick-one-team guy. So, I'm a Royals guy. It's where I grew up. I worked for the Nats. I love the Nats. I got an AL and an NL team. But I also think it's nice when the Orioles have success, which is very much a reaction to the Yankees as much as it is pro-Orioles. I think Camden Yards is great. I like the history. I back the Birds. They got some fun players on the team. It's mainly a reaction to the Yankees, though, if we're calling this what it is. If the Yankees can't win, it used to be like, maybe the Red Sox will win. They're lovable. But the Red Sox are not lovable anymore. I haven't been lovable in a while. So we move on to the next best option. And that's the Baltimore Orioles. If the Blue Jays ever showed a pulse, I think I'd be pro Blue Jays too. So it's more anti-Yankees than anything. But the Yankees are once again in the center of Major League Baseball. Got the new bat. They're swinging it well. Off to a great start this season. I'm also curious, like, logistically speaking, from a manufacturing perspective, how quickly they can get these new bats into the hands of everybody. And then if you're a player, how many practice swings do you want with the new bat? Like if you're on the Squirrels and they bring that bat to you Friday morning, do you swing it opening night? Do you go in the cage and try to get comfortable? Do you mix and match? I think because baseball's such a routine-oriented, superstition-oriented sport. There's a lot of things in baseball that don't make sense, but are just about player comfort on a day-to-day basis. And it seems like this would be one of them. Which bat you use, guys will sometimes borrow other guys' bats, you know, if there's breaks or whatever. But I think there's a comfort level there. So I'm curious as it filters out to the majors, how many guys are going to use it? How many guys will stick with what they're doing? How are the pitchers going to react? We got ourselves a bona fide storyline in Major League Baseball here as we get the season rolling. As I mentioned, Richmond Flying Squirrels opening night on Friday. Awesome. Looking forward to that. Always a landmark event every year when baseball returns to Richmond. Hopefully the weather will be as nice as it's been. Sometimes you get the rain. That happens. But as of right now, we're looking good. 6:35 first pitch against Akron. John Smoltz in the house to throw out the first pitch of the Flying Squirrels season. Of course, celebrating 40 years at the Diamond. Many great R Braves memories there with those great Braves teams, the TBS teams of the 90s who rolled through Richmond on their way to Atlanta to the bigs. In your face fireworks Friday and Saturday night. First youth game on Sunday, 1:35. First pitch. So we are less than a week away now from day baseball in Richmond. Squirrels then hit the road after that. So you only got three chances to see them before they hit the road. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with some early first pitches too. 6:35 Friday, 6 o'clock on Saturday. Of course, the Sunday getaway matinee, which is going to be fun to have them back in town. One more round at the Diamond. One more chance for us to eat the hot dog inside the pickle. Which was weird, and I will not be eating that again. And one more season of chances here to bid your farewell to the giant concrete structure that is the Diamond. I love all the mixed opinions on it, because Trey's always like, I'm going to get sad when we leave the Diamond, and I'm always like, I'm going to be so happy when we go across the street to CarMax Park. New era coming for the Squirrels. It's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, you'll hear the games right here, and we'll see if they get the new bats. Maybe we'll ask Trey tomorrow. Trey's a baseball junkie. He'll know. We'll see if they get the Yankees bats. Boo to the Yankees. But we're turning on Duke, so maybe there's hope for the Yankees. They're growing beards. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe this show will turn on the Yankees. Turn towards the Yankees, rather, someday. If we can do it with Duke, we can do it with the Yankees. That's who's to say? Lots more show to come. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to the home of the Flying Squirrels in Richmond. 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Worldwide on the Odyssey app, 1 hour away from AWOD Radio. It's a Monday. He's at Capitol Ale House, live and local. Be with you noon to 3 as we get ready for Portal Combat Week in college basketball, a week like no other, as everybody tries to race to get in before this fake salary cap is imposed next Monday. Alex Ovechkin continues the chase for history. 4 games in the next 6 days. Lots of opportunities to watch. Ovi on the great chase. He is 4 from tying, 5 from passing Wayne Gretzky as the greatest of all time goal scorer. And man, this is going to be close. People ask me, is he going to get it? Here's my prediction. It's going to be close. It just takes one two-goal night, 1 3-goal night. All of a sudden, the calculus changes, but couple of bagels, all of a sudden, you're the other way as well, and now you're saying, oh, man. Now, I think there's upsides to him not getting it this year, which is kind of you can pick your spot next year when the schedule comes out. You can get it at home. You can get everybody riled up for it. Hopefully it's accompanied by maybe a nice banner raising, something like that. But also, he wants it done this year. You can tell. He wants it done this year going into the playoffs, and he's going to be fighting for it. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch down the stretch here. Every game, every minute, every shift is going to be very closely tracked to the end of the season and then into the playoffs, which playoff hockey, of course, as you know, it does not get more fun than that. Lots of NFL news today, so I want to hit an NFL segment here because we have not done that in today's program yet. Want to talk NFL, though, because today is...
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is the competition committee meeting day. That is where they set the rules for the NFL season. To fully set the stage for you, people ask me, do you miss being a beat writer? Do you miss being with the team every day? And the answer is yes. It's a great job. I miss it a lot. There are so many cool things about getting to know the players and the teams and the storylines on a day-to-day basis. I love this job. I love talking on the radio. I love the Richmonder. Love my job there, bringing local news to people. And that's super important. I believe in that mission. But yes, there was something really fun about being a beat writer and getting to know the team on that level. But I also say the thing I really miss about covering the NFL as a beat writer is the league meeting. So every year, end of March, start of April, they have the NFL league meeting. And this is officially where they handle the league business for the coming year, set the salary cap, set the rules, discuss adding new teams. Now, I was often at this event having to work really hard because towards the end, this was where they started disciplining Dan Snyder. And this is where they started having those side conversations about what it would look like to push Dan Snyder out. Those meetings were less fun. Fun to push Dan Snyder out. I didn't push Dan Snyder out, obviously. I've heard enough stories from enough people who know him to not have felt bad when it happened. And certainly the $6 billion going away check was not a bad consolation prize either. What was really fun was for most people, this was a low intensity work week. They always do this in one of two places, Scottsdale, Arizona. Phenomenal city, of course, or down in Palm Beach, Florida at the Breakers. Now, we don't get to stay at the Breakers as the media. We stay at the Courtyard by Marriott down the street, but you get to go hang out at the Breakers all day, which if you don't know the Breakers, it's Mar-a-Lago, but not political. It's the other giant palace overlooking the ocean in West Palm where the rich people hang out. And so you've got business. You talk to the coaches, you talk to the owners, but generally speaking, everybody's really laid back. It's the best time to get information, to pump people about what's happening, what's going to happen. I often left there, and I had to explain this to my bosses on a number of occasions. You leave there, and people are like, they're like, why did we pay to send you to Florida for a week? Your stories were mid at best. Here's the 9 things I have in my back pocket that are going to be big things that I will chase over the next months. Like, it was a great time to just casually chat with people by the pool over a beverage, a lot of cigars there. I'm not a cigar guy. A lot of people are cigar guys. When in Rome, I was a cigar guy there from time to time, but mostly just hanging out, talking football, talking about what was coming this year. And so some of those storylines will come out over the next couple of days. But the centerpiece of the NFL league meeting, which is at the Breakers this year, they are all down in West Palm, the gathering of the NFL's elite. There's a few items of substance on the competition committee menu this week. Number one, kickoff rules. You remember last year when they adopted the new kickoff, they deliberately adopted it as a one-year thing. So if the competition committee doesn't do anything today, the kickoff actually reverts back to the way it used to be. Now, that is not going to happen, but that's the way they crafted the rule coming in. That way, if it was contentious, like if half the league wanted to go back and half the league wanted to move forward, the default was actually going to be to go back to the old kickoff for next year, is how they structured it. Now, there is enough support to keep the kickoff going. The debate they're going to have is whether touchbacks should stay at the 30-yard line or go to the 35. 5. Right now, there about 30% of kickoffs are being returned, which is way more than before they adopted this. But and it's been way safer, too. But they want it higher, and they are projecting that if touchbacks come to 35, they think it could be 60 to 70% of kickoffs get returned, which would add a little more excitement to the game, put that back in play as a competitive play, which I could see. No question about it. Certainly makes a ton of sense to me. In terms of, you know, the balance of offense, defense, we've been skewing offense for a while now, but man, if you let the offense start at the 35 on every possession, you're going to have a lot more field goals, a lot more scoring drives. I know it's just 5 yards, but you're now essentially 2 first downs away from a field goal at any point in the game. And you know, it has impacts on down the line, too, in terms of comebacks and overtimes and things like that. Talking about tweaking the onside kick, but only minorly, they're not going to do any of the radical proposals. Now, I actually am not against the new kickoff. I kind of like the new kickoff. I am firmly against, they're talking about instead of an onside kick, the offense can run a play that's 4th and 20 instead, need to get 20 yards. I don't like that at all, especially because you're going to have some kind of bailout pass interference. You're going to have some teams that are better suited to do that than others. I actually like the onside kick as a play. I'm good with letting it stay. I'm also good making it hard for teams to come back late in games. This is the European soccer fan in me who doesn't actually exist. I don't like this whole, like, ooh, let's make it easy for teams to come back from 21 down. You got 21 down. Life's hard. Suck it up. Yeah, makes the comebacks more special. We don't need to make it easier to come back from 21 down, is my opinion about that. Banning the tush push is on, and depending on who you listen to, there may or may not be momentum to actually get this done this year, which is crazy to me. I don't think you should penalize a team for being good at what they do. This would be different if there were A, legitimate safety concerns. I don't think there are. Or B, if every team was equally good at the tush push, or if 25 teams could all run it to perfection. There's one team that can run that play to perfection. It's the Eagles. Don't penalize them for that. They're really good at it. Enforce the rules, right? The false start, the offsides, you know, those are contentious elements of it. But just because Frankie Louvu jumped a couple times, it was fun. It was a great moment. The ref, you know, said he was going to just award points to the Eagles. It was a weird moment in football history. Just because the Eagles are good at it is not a reason to ban the tush push. If there's safety concerns or if there's competitive balance concerns, just it's an automatic play and everybody can do it. But it's not either of those things. It is one team's secret weapon. I'm firmly against taking away one team's secret weapon. That's my tush push stance. Those are the big ones they're going to vote on. The other one, which I am also against, is Thursday night football flex games. Right now they can flex a Thursday night football game on 28 days notice. They want to move that down to 21 days notice. I hate doing it at all. I think it is anti fan friendly. But it's a TV league now. It's a TV product more than it's a fan product. I will not be surprised if the main Commanders storyline coming out of here is primarily about Terry McLaurin and the potential for an extension for him. I think that's just kind of where we're at. There's not a lot of juice in talking about pick 29 in the NFL draft. There's just not a lot of juice in. Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get to the predictions, the speculations. It's too far down the line, and I think, you know, Adam and I have talked about this a lot. I think they want to trade it. I think they want to trade that pick when they sit on it to get back and get more picks later, because they have very little draft capital right now, which I think is a reflection of how Adam Peters feels about the draft, but also his urgency in needing to move to get weapons for Jaden Daniels, to get Laremy Tunsil, to get Deebo Samuel. I think he felt that urgency, and that's the way you do it. You give up draft capital. So I don't think there's a ton of juice around the draft. I think the question is, when's the Terry extension coming? What's that going to look like? I don't think we'll get resolution on that coming out of here, but I'm pegging that as the main topic. Nationally, the main topic, of course, is going to be Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers. Will Aaron Rodgers sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Weirdly, it kind of makes sense for everybody right now. We're in that weird feeling it out stage here where nobody really wants to do it, but everybody's kind of realized we're going to do it. We're waiting for everybody to jump in the pool here. That is going to be a storyline-filled team, although Aaron Rodgers, good for you. Steelers, good for you. You know I love Mike Tomlin. All energies at MP on the Mic Inc. are purely focused on that New York Giants quarterback room. Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, and Tommy DeVito. And if there is any justice in this world, Shedeur Sanders as the number four in that room would be absolutely insane. It's MP on the Mic. We talk football. We talk basketball. We talk a lot of things. And we'll continue doing it. After this break, you're listening to the home of ECU basketball in Richmond. And starting Friday, opening day, the Flying Squirrels will play right here. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. You can always catch us worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Of course, this is the place to catch NCAA basketball action, which picks back up Saturday at the Final Four at the men's tournament. Who's talking tonight? Shout out to UVA baseball coach Brian O'Connor. Not only do they sweep Stanford, he gets his 900th career victory. That's a lot of coaching college baseball. Fewer opportunities, of course, than in the majors, than in the minors. 900 career wins for Brian O'Connor, UVA baseball coach. Excited to see what he does in Charlottesville. That's a program they do not rebuild. They reload. There were a couple lean years there. They are very much back to rolling again. Be fun to watch some baseball. And got a walk-off victory on Saturday against Stanford, bottom of the 10th, 8-8, when the winning run driven home. UVA baseball, it's the season. Baseball, lacrosse, this is the season to be a UVA sports fan. And maybe we'll see if Ryan Odom gets them in shape too. Of course, we'll have football season soon enough. Bill Belichick against UVA, fired up for that one, obviously. I'm not holding out a lot of hope for Tony Elliott and the crew. We've been told they spent a lot of money. I think everybody's spending a lot of money. I'm worried that just the money alone is not going to get the job done. But we'll see. They started last season strong, scheduled a little better, but had some nice wins, Wake Forest and all that. Finished with a dud in Blacksburg, which is kind of the tradition. I think that's a game that certainly is going to be marked this year as a real how are these guys progressing kind of moment as we move forwards with UVA football in what is an evaluation year for the program as a whole, and I think therefore for the athletic director, because that's the biggest thing you got to do is keep the stands filled for football. That's what keeps the money flowing into the coffers. And Carla Williams knows she's got her work cut out for her on that front. Wanted to talk, while we stay in college sports, wanted to talk women's basketball because the Elite Eight is tonight. And this was supposed to be you will never convince me that these things aren't conspiracies, that they don't plan these matchups out. Tonight was going to be the night of women's basketball. TCU, Texas, Haley Van Lith, if you followed her story against her former team, a little chippy there when they've met before. That's going to be an emotional matchup there. 7 o'clock tonight, TCU, Texas. But then the main event at 9 was supposed to be UConn against USC. Juju's injury there. We were supposed to have the Juju Watkins Paige Beckers showdown. I think UConn will be the favorites there now, with Juju Watkins out. Still a good team. Still handle their business to get to this point. But it's UConn's year vibes are very strong down there. Doesn't always work out the way you hope it will. And for Juju Watkins, wishing her a quick recovery. probably going to miss next season as these things go, but look forward to seeing her back out there. She's part of that great viral clip. I don't know if you saw that one the other day with Jaden Daniels. So she's hanging out with Jaden Daniels at the regional games. They're in the stands. The camera shows them. They're laughing. They're chatting. And then they flash back to them like 10 minutes later. And Jaden's mom is literally sitting between the two of them. It made the rounds. Jaden's mom, we know, is very protective of JD5. I'll say this. I say this to Mama Daniels. I don't know Juju Watkins at all. I know she's a baller. I think there's worse things in life than your son dating a baller. I think that's way better than going down the entertainer influencer wormhole. I think maybe there's worse options out there. I think it's going to happen. It's going to happen at some point. He's a kid in his 20s. It's going to happen at some point. I think there's worse options than a star athlete. Gets the lifestyle, hard worker, not just there for her looks. She's there balling out every night, working hard in the gym. I don't know. I like it. I approve. Mama Daniels, you can call me if you have further questions about that, because I approve. But I wanted to talk about the women's tournament because the NCAA cannot stay out of its own way when it comes to the women's basketball tournament. You remember a couple of years ago, the deal where they couldn't use the term March Madness for the women's tournament. Then you remember the pandemic year when they gave the men a nice weight room and did not give the women a weight room. And the numerous misguided attempts along the way, moving selection show from Monday night to Sunday night so it would be at the same time as the men. And the continued discussion of moving the women's Final Four to the same city as the men's Final Four to create a basketball festival, which remains just an absolutely stupid idea. Because if you've ever been to a men's Final Four, you know this. It's very, very hard to get hotel rooms, to get tickets. Lots of people are there. It's at full capacity. And the answer to that is not, let's introduce a whole new tournament. Because it's not 80,000 people who are going to be like, well, we'll go to the women's basketball game too. You're locking out women's basketball fans out of attending women's basketball. Along the way, they came up with the idea, the brilliant idea a few years ago, that instead of four regional sites for the Sweet 16 round, they're going to have two regional sites. So you can go to one of these sites and watch, multiple basketball games, which I think I actually don't mind this on paper. This is, I think, actually a good idea on paper. Two regional sites that each host two regionals. So you've got the opportunity to go to one place and see eight really good basketball teams and six really good basketball games instead of spreading around the country, where you just get one pod, where you just go to a couple of games or just go to one game on the one ticket. I think that makes sense. It also makes sense for TV to set up at one site. It also makes sense for the media. You can attract to one site. I actually think this is, I'm going to give it to the NCAA. I actually think this is one of their better ideas. Come on, they're going to screw this up. One of these sites this year chosen to host the action was Spokane, Washington. And Hazel can nod along, Spokane, Washington is not a big city. And Spokane, Washington is not flush with hotel rooms and infrastructure and things for people to do and restaurants to eat at. Here's, Mitchell Northam, who is a women's sports writer for SB Nation. This is at the start of the weekend. The NCAA is currently scrambling to find a secondary overflow media hotel in Spokane where there is, not an abundance of suitable hotels. If you remember, there were issues with hotels in the men's first round last year too, when Gonzaga hosted. If that's not classic NCAA, I don't know what is. Great idea. We're going to give people one-stop shopping for great women's basketball. Bad idea. We're going to pick the smallest city possible to stuff them in, and there's not going to be enough room to accommodate everybody. And you just can't get to Spokane. It's not near Seattle. It's not near anything. So you lock out eight fan bases now, and it's not like Gonzaga is a powerhouse. It's not like they were going to be there to start with. Just a classic NCAA all the way around, right there. Good idea. Botched the execution. stand around, shrug your shoulders, ask for Congress to bail you out with an antitrust exemption. That continues. We're now 1 week away from this court hearing to decide whether the House settlement will be allowed to stand, which if it does, means that for the first time, schools can directly pay the athletes. So that's certainly very much on the radar for next Monday. And remember, we told you last week at the Martelli introduction, this is driving a lot of the action in the portal right now because the college administrators have come together and put guide rails on revenue sharing. Teams are going to have to report their contracts to a central clearinghouse. They don't have to now. So everybody's expecting a huge run of deals, a huge run of money, signing bonuses, upfront payments, all those sorts of things right now this week to beat the April 7th deadline. And that's going to be how the big schools skirt. What are some rules that may help keep basketball parity in play? Not for this year, obviously, because they all see the way around them. Also, funny thing about it, I mean, you got four teams that are still playing basketball and also buying next year's team as they do it. Truly an insane time to be a basketball coach. Now, not to be confused with the insane basketball coach, Kevin Willard, who finally turned in his note that he's bouncing to Villanova, which is also one of the main stories of the day here. We'll get to that. We'll dive around the world of sports. Who's talking tonight? AWOD Radio. Noon to 3, you're listening to Richmond's home for the NCAA basketball tournament. 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Always worldwide on the free Odyssey app, rolling up to the top of the 11 o'clock hour here. AWOD Radio takes over at noon on a Monday morning. Thunderstorms coming later today, but don't listen to me. Listen to Matt DiNardo about that stuff. He'll be popping in, giving you the weather updates. Storms are coming. A little cool temperatures before we heat up again. Hopefully, beautiful weekend. Flying Squirrels opening weekend coming at you. Friday is the opening day. Excited for that. John Smoltz in town to throw out the first pitch. Get a season underway that will be unlike any other. Final season at the Diamond as we get ready to move to CarMax Park. And a year with, I'm going to say, high expectations for the Squirrels. We'll see who the Giants send their way, but the Giants have a decent amount of talent right now in the farm system. So if they push some of it our way, with Dennis Pelfrey at the helm, he's got a championship resume as a manager. I don't mind saying I'd like to see the Squirrels make some noise, get back to the playoffs again, have a little playoff baseball in Richmond, Virginia. It's a thing. It's a thing we're starting to get used to around here. Would be fun to get back and have another playoff chase. You know, the way the season works, they split it into two halves. You just have to win one half of the season. They dominate early, dominate late. Doesn't matter. We'll see what the Squirrels are up to. We'll see what they're doing as the season goes on. And, of course, we'll have Trey Wilson on tomorrow to get us ready for all the opening day festivities. As we are counting down to the college basketball Final Four in San Antonio next week, you may have heard this. All four number one seeds advanced to the NCAA Final Four, which to me is a reflection of the quality at the top this year. I mean, you look at the bracket, this is the chalkiest bracket you can imagine, really. This is one of those unfortunate years where the person who's just like, who takes the favorites in every game ends up winning the bracket pool. And you're like, oh, I studied the games. I've called the upsets. I always call a healthy amount of upsets in my bracket because that's fun. Because that's, it's a little bit of manifesting. I feel like starting next year, I may need to just do the emotional hedge bracket, just pick all the one seeds to win. And then if it happens, maybe I'm a little salty about how the tournament comes out, but I'm winning the bracket contest. May need to tweak my approach here, refine how I get after it in the bracket contest. We'll see. March comes around and I'm talking myself into UC San Diego. March comes around and all of a sudden Drake's the team. I love me some Drake. Weirdly, I'm to the point now where I don't say that about Gonzaga. Maybe should have, but they got a brutal draw, obviously coming in as the 8, having to play the 1 seed first weekend. Their Sweet 16 streak ends, but they were by all accounts a very good basketball team this year. Certainly the metrics say so. Of the final 8, they were all ranked in the top 9 in Ken Pomeroy's rankings. So another point for our guy Ken Pom, who is a Virginia Tech grad. If you didn't know that, Our guy Ken Pomeroy, Virginia Tech graduate, put that big engineering brain to use, ranking college basketball teams. And by the way, you want validation. Eight of his top nine teams ended up in the Elite Eight. Oh, and by the way, the ninth was Gonzaga, which got brutally disrespected by the committee. So there's merit to the rankings, as much as we chide them, as much as we get on the tempo, the pace. Those are going to be keywords you're talking about in college basketball years to come. We're talking about knobby bats right now in baseball. We're talking about adjusted tempo in basketball. And I like it, too, because I think in a lot of ways it quantifies what we knew rather than it doesn't change the game. It changes how we see the game, because sometimes, you know, like in baseball, the statistical evolution led to guys taking more pitches, trying to walk, trying to get the pitcher to run out of pitches. That was bad. I'll just say it straight up. That was bad when that happened in baseball. It made the games less fun. The influence of tempo in college basketball, to me, is much more about monitoring the way the game is going as opposed to dictating the way the game is going. He's just reflecting what's out there in those numbers. Either you're a good defensive team, you're a good offensive team, or in the case of a lot of these Final Four teams, you're both. And I think that's, man, that is ultimately what it's been for some of these winners this weekend. You think about Florida, which just could turn it on so fast offensively, clamp it down defensively, good on both ends of the floor. Houston, balanced basketball team. And Texas Tech, man, Texas Tech was giving it to Florida. But Florida, when they clamped down, there is so much talent there. That talent still rules the day. Welcome Phil Martelli Jr. to Richmond. Of course, we had all his festivities at the end of last week. And yeah, it's all about talent procurement. Ed McLaughlin told me, say, yeah, we can have the best coach in the world. We're not going to win if we don't have good players. And the school's making that commitment. Wrote about that in the Richmonder this morning. VCU says they're going to spend $4 to $5 million on basketball players this year. Yeah, that's a jaw dropper of a number, especially for, you know, mid-sized school in Richmond, Virginia, that has not previously been a player financially like that in sports. That's a big deal amount of money. We'll see where it goes, because it's also about spending it wisely. You hear about the teams this year that went big in NIL and it fizzled out. It's also still the coaching, it's the chemistry. Phil Martelli Jr. told me he's going to have somebody in the general manager role, even if their title's not general manager. They're going to supervise roster construction and building and salary management, because these are very real things in college basketball right now. And excited to get back to the Siegel Center. Next time we'll be there, it'll be November, maybe October for the Black and Gold game. We'll see the schedule soon enough. Hopefully Penn State's on that schedule. Yeah, UVA on that schedule soon enough. Maui next year, schedule for success at VCU. We'll see. But right now, Final Four vouching. It's a talent-driven league, for sure. We're back with our number two, MP on the mic. Right after this, you're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, You get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.